You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Coming up on 3:05 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Happy May Day to everybody out there if you still celebrate May Day. Did a few times when I was a kid. Haven't done it in a while, though. But we are in the merry month of May, and we are coming your way from our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you aboard on the Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew back with us. It is Thursday. That means it is Andrew Day, as he is our producer coming up here. We got a good show coming up for you. Barry Abrams will join us to talk the ins and outs of the 151st Kentucky Derby, which will go off at Churchill Downs on Saturday. Really should be an intriguing race. Bob Baffert is back. We'll talk about a lot of things coming up with Barry Abrams from ESPN and the Far Turn podcast. We will do that coming up in just a little bit and get to the news of the day and a whole lot more. I've talked about you enough. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Good to see you.
You too.
Good to be seen.
Yeah.
Good to be seen. Mark Dukes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott, Andrew, everyone out there. And looking forward to talking to Barry Abrams. He's always entertaining, always knowledgeable. No May Day basket on my porch today, though. Yeah.
I think is that a tradition that has gone by the wayside?
I don't know.
In America?
I think, though, today working my other job, I did see a bunch of them at the nurse's station. So I don't know if they did some like Secret Santa type thing with
Secret May Basket.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
it's an intriguing turn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you get one?
No, I did not.
Ah, man.
Well, there's kids May Day baskets and adult May Day baskets, I think.
There might be. I mean, the adult ones probably have some beverages.
Never the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We are fresh off of the bowling team banquet last night. No MVP was named.
No.
It would have been Jason, though. Jason is our MVP. If you are listening out there, J. Cole, well done. You are the 2024-2025 MVP. But we look to the very short offseason and a possible portal.
Yes.
That we are somewhat excited about.
Troy Beeler coming through in the portal.
It might be coming through in the portal. We'll see. We're going to talk with Barry coming up in just a little bit. Last night, and granted, we don't talk a ton of NBA here on the program, but I think we have to at least address the situation last night. The LA Lakers go down to defeat in the first round. Minnesota, the Timberwolves, and Luka Garza, the sixth seed, oust the number three seeded Lakers of Los Angeles. And, of course, as soon as the buzzer buzzed, all the speculation was, have we seen the last of LeBron James and his tremendous career, Hall of Fame career, one of the great careers of all time? He's getting up there. He can still play. There's no doubt about that. But when you get to you get past that first numeral being a four, and you're playing a strenuous sport such as professional basketball, the questions start to weigh in. And at least the early indications are that he is planning on coming back next year. But obviously, LA's got the Dodgers, but this was a big disappointment because they made a big trade and a big splash to go out and try to win this thing, and here they are on the sideline after five games.
Yeah, LeBron, 40, is going to be 41 in December. But the guy can still play. He averaged 24-8-8 this year. Eight rebounds, eight assists, and played in 70 games for the second straight year. He's still an asset. I think LeBron is the least of the Lakers' problems, from what I can tell. They don't have a center, for one thing.
No.
And J.J. Redick's hair is on fire. every time something happens with the Lakers. So they've got some issues to address. But I noticed the books did very well because a lot of people are on the Lakers, not only in this series, but maybe to win it all.
So Vegas is getting bigger? Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Not that it ever not. But, yeah, man. That was I did not expect the Lakers to go down in this first round series. I can't say that I had
five.
In five at home,
yeah,
a couple times. And I can't say that I had a, you know, incredible rooting interest in this thing, but Luka Garza is a Timberwolf, so that's a nice local angle right there.
Yeah, didn't play last night, hasn't played a whole lot, but he is on the team and contributes now and again, but it's a great win for Minnesota. If you're a T-Wolves fan, if you're a Lakers fan, I don't know what to tell you. I do think LeBron's going to come back. He's got an opt-in, opt-out year coming up in 25-26. And like I said, you know, averaging 24 points a game and doing what he does. I don't know what. When did Michael Jordan retire? What at what age?
Well, which
let's
time?
Get on that.
Which time?
Well, for good.
For good? Oh gosh, I'd have to look it up, but I think he was in the ballpark.
Yeah.
About this age, and of course that always brings up. Oh gosh, was he suspended? He went to play minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. We know all about that and whatnot. LeBron playing with Bronny next year. I think that is a big pull.
I think that's going to be the big motivation because it's not the money. He's a billionaire. I think that would motivate him more than anything else.
He's doing fine.
Yeah.
He's doing fine. And movies, he's diversifying as well. He's also getting into motion pictures. He's getting into entertainment. Who is not, you know, big-time stars and athletes and whatnot, but I think he is going to come back. We'll see what the Lakers are like next year. Youth won the series, says Cajun Troy, and I gotta agree with you on that. 319-366-1600. We have NBA playoff basketball coming up tonight for you. We will get to as well coming up later on in the program, not only the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, but we will give you a chance to get registered to win in the $5,000 cash giveaway with Second Street or Spring into Cash sweepstakes. We'll give you an opportunity to do that coming up here in just a little bit. But at 3:12, we bring in one of our favorites from ESPN and the Far Turn podcast. That would be Barry Abrams. And it must mean it is May and time for the Triple Crown. Barry, good afternoon. How are you? Well, let's do this, and then we'll bring in Barry. There we go. Hi, Barry.
How are you?
We're doing great. I had you scared and nervous earlier in the week, and I do apologize for that.
Oh, it's hard to scare me. You're all good.
Barry's not scared because I saw he was doing play-by-play of a female tackle football game. Is that right, Barry?
Public address.
Public address. Cool. Okay.
How was it?
First time ever.
Was it good?
It would have been good had we not been delayed by a ridiculous hailstorm that blew through the area and delayed everything by like an hour and a half, made the field look like it was covered with snow in late April. But other than that, it was a lot of fun, and those folks worked very hard.
Yes, and a lot of people working hard in Louisville right now, and we're getting ready for the 151st edition of the Kentucky Derby, and I guess with open arms, question mark, we welcome back Bob Baffert to Louisville.
Well, he really should have been allowed back last year. If you recall, for those not familiar, Bob Baffert, who has trained 6 Derby winners, almost had a 7th when Medina Spirit crossed the line first in 2021, but the horse failed a drug test and was suspended. Baffert fought the suit, actually then dropped the suit before the Kentucky Derby last year, But because last year was the 150th and Churchill Downs made a very big deal out of that, they didn't want Bob Baffert stealing the limelight, and they extended the suspension for one more year. But he has two horses here, and they are basically carbon copies of each other. Last year's two-year-old Champion Citizen Bull, who goes from the rail, and Rodriguez, who goes from the four. They're both horses that run up front early. They both need the lead, or they just don't function well. Well, there are a lot of horses that need the lead or they don't function well in this particular race. Only one of them is going to get it, really. I don't know how the others are going to work out trips and keep their horses interested. I mean, Bob Baffert says he's not going to orchestrate the early part of the race with his riders. I don't think anybody believes that. But at least one of those horses is not going to have things his own way.
Barry, this Derby is speaking to me. Someone who's been in the business for too many decades, but journalism and publisher, both in the field. Come on. What more do I have to think about?
Well, for those of us who feel like the Fourth Estate is being shafted these days, and I don't think I'm alone in that, I just love hearing. Well, journalism's run in California, so I've loved hearing Frank Miramati say, "And here comes journalism!" Beautiful.
And they are good horses.
Journalism has been the most consistent horse from the fall to the winter to the spring. His power numbers, which are the statistical measure of every horse's performance, are high and above every other horse in this race. If you want to knock him, he hasn't faced big fields at all. The most he's faced in any one of his races is four opponents, five total in the race. So he's obviously going to have 19 others to contend with here in a 20-horse field. Can he handle it? I've seen no reason to believe he can't, but if you're looking for a knock on him, that would be it.
Barry, horses with double-digit odds have won the last three Derbies. Give me a couple horses that might fall into that category.
How about Burnham Square, the winner of the Bluegrass? Right down the road from Louisville his last time out. His morning line is 12-1. He'll probably go off at 10, maybe a smidge below that. I'm not sure he's fast enough, honestly. But if you watched him train this week, which I have, he looks like he's ready to run through a brick wall. I mean, when he's out on the track, his neck, his chin is tucked to his chest. His neck is bowed, and that is a sign that a horse is ready to go. So I don't know if he's fast enough, but he looks like he is sitting on a big race, and you're probably going to get him somewhere around 10-1. I definitely take a look at him. If you're looking for one, there's always a horse every year, guys, as you probably know, who comes out of nowhere and just kind of clunks up, gets the best trip, and finishes somewhere in the top three or four. And I have a sneaking suspicion that horse is Flying Mohawk, who has not run on conventional dirt yet. He's run on turf and man-made dirt, synthetic, at Turfway Park in Cincinnati, and he'll probably end up being a turf horse because his father won the Breeders' Cup Turf Mile, Caracanti. But he also looks like one of those horses where if the early pace, and there's going to be a lot of early speed in this race, if it falls apart and he gets a good trip, I don't know that he wins this race, but I could see him finishing, let's say, third, and you're like, wait a minute, where did that guy come from? Also, pay attention to the two Japanese horses here who have like 15, 30-1 morning lines. We're talking about Luxor Cafe and Admire Daytona. I don't love Admire Daytona, but Luxor Cafe looks like the real deal. And the Japanese have won around the world on big nights like a Kentucky Derby day consistently. They had two horses finish in the top five of the Derby last year. Forever Young missed by two noses winning that race. Luxor Cafe looks like the real deal, and his morning line is 15-1. I would say he could win this race if not for his rider. His rider is a guy named Joao Moreira, who is primarily a Hong Kong-based rider known as the Magic Man. But riding in the Kentucky Derby with 19 other horses in a race once described by a well-known trainer as savage, I don't think Joe Marrera is the right guy. If you put Frankie Dettori on that horse or Mike Smith on that horse, and I can't believe Frankie Dettori is not in this race, by the way. If you put one of those guys or John Velasquez on Luxor Cafe, I'd pound him to death. That horse could win. He is really, really good.
Couple horses toward the outside with pretty good odds. Sandman and Sovereignty. How about those two?
Well, you know Sandman's going to get a lot of play. So, I mean, he's 6-1 on the morning line. He's going to go off much lower because people are going to identify with the name and the fact that he's gray. He is good. He is a come-from-behind horse, and he's going to need to navigate traffic. Now, with a fast pace, which we expect, the field should be strung out. It's kind of like when you're on the highway and you get through a construction zone where everybody's kind of bunched up, and then you get up to speed and the cars string out again. That's probably going to happen here, and so I think a horse like Sandman is going to have a chance to make a run. Is he good enough? I have my doubts that he's fast enough. And I'm not convinced that he's fast enough to get to the final furlong, meaning the last eighth of a mile when they're in front of the grandstand, already in position to win. He's a big come-from-behinder. He has to come from further out of it. And he needs to have what we call a middle move where he launches that rally such that when he hits the home stretch, he's already in position. Maybe not the lead, but second, maybe third. And I'm just not sure he's going to get there in time for that closing kick to really make a difference. But he is a quality horse, won the Arkansas Derby his last time out. And Sovereignty is a fighter. He definitely is going to have a chance here. He didn't win his last race. He finished second in the Florida Derby to a horse, Tappan Street, who got hurt last week and will not be here. Sovereignty has been kind of a hit-and-miss horse. I think he's going to have a chance. He has tremendous breeding. Comes from the best sire in the business and Into Mischief. Again, going from the outside post is not a big deal with Junior Alvarado. Sovereignty is going to have something to say about this.
What about the horse on the 10 hole with Pletcher training and Velasquez aboard?
Yeah, Grande. Grande for Mike Rapoli doesn't do anything quiet, so this horse has been very under the radar, and that's very unusual for a guy like Mike Rapoli, the owner, the guy who financed St. John's basketball, founder of Vitamin Water. But Grande, to me, you know, has distance breeding up and down his pedigree, from by Curlin, the two-time horse of the year. His mother's father was Warfront. This horse can run all day. He's only run three times, and if you watch those races, he's been outside the whole time and never faced what we call kickback, where the horse's hooves kick up dirt as they run and they kind of hit the horse behind them. He's never faced that. He's going to here. I think Grande is going to treat this race as a learning experience. I don't think he wins this, but when Todd Pletcher brings him back in 5 weeks in the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, this horse has Belmont Stakes to be written all over him. I think this one's, again, we've gotten past the horse can't win the Derby with only three starts, you know, with Justify and stuff like that. But it's still an uphill climb for a horse with so little experience. I think this is his learning experience, and to me, the Belmont Stakes has his name written all over it.
I've been reading about this, Barry. We have a little bit of an asterisk in this race, and that is if there is a scratch, not saying that we want to have a scratch or anything like that, but there is a horse on the outside, I guess the first alternate, if you will, that a lot of people like if he can get in. Tell us about that situation.
Right. So Baeza is the horse of whom you're speaking.
Correct.
And the way it works, if you watch motorsports or golf during the year, you know that to qualify for the championships in those sports, you have to earn points based on how you finish in all of the events leading up to it. The Kentucky Derby designates 35 races where they pay points just like motorsports do. but they added a wrinkle this year. If there are five or fewer horses in one of those races, not all of the points will be awarded. They feel that you're not beating enough horses to earn all those points. Baeza was a late developing horse who he ran in December, but his races were really spaced out. And so, and even then, his debut in December, he finished ninth. Then he started to pick it up, but it took a while for trainer John Sheriffs to put him into a stakes race. The only stakes race he ran was the Santa Anita Derby, where he finished second to Journalism. But because there were only three others besides those two, Baeza only earned 3/4 of the points he would have. He would have earned 50 on a normal day, but he only earned 37.5, 3/4. And that put him 1.5 out of the cut line. So right now he's not in. But, I mean, he gave Journalism a run for his money and only finished 3/4 of a length behind him. So the thought is, if Baeza were to get in, he'd probably have a better-than-average shot to win this race. But as of right now, he's not in, and the rule is if by 9 a.m. Eastern time on Friday, nobody scratches, then Baeza's out, and he would probably run in the Preakness.
Barry, what about the expected conditions and how they might affect any given horse?
There is weather today, tomorrow in Louisville, and that rain is supposed to continue into the overnight on Friday night. I think it's supposed to end somewhere around 1 or 2 in the morning. So it certainly will affect the Kentucky Oaks, the female version of the Derby, tomorrow. But Churchill Downs is probably the best track in the country, the best dirt track in the country for drainage. And so I would say by the time they start racing at around noon Eastern or so on Saturday, the track may not be completely dried out, but it's going to be drying out. And by the time the Derby itself is run on Saturday, my guess is that track will not only be dry enough, but it might actually be kind of springy, where it has a little bit of moisture in it, what we call wet fast. And those are ideal conditions, especially with a fast pace on tap here. That's how you really love it. So I don't think the track condition is going to be an issue. That's at least what the forecast says now.
Are you going to give us your horse, or are we going to have to? I encourage people to go and follow you and listen to the podcast, but are you going to give us a horse or two?
I really think, it's not all that surprising to say that Journalism's probably going to win this race. He's the best horse by far on numbers, and he's going to have room to make a run because I think the pace will be fast and the field will be strung out. I really like Luxor Cafe, the Japanese horse, to come in somewhere if his rider, the Kentucky Derby inexperienced Joe Marrera, can work out a trip. That's the big if there. And I like Burnham Square to come somewhere near there. The one other we haven't mentioned who I think has a chance to come in somewhere is a horse named Tiztastic. Tiztastic is number 14. He won the Louisiana Derby his last time out. He has the great Joel Rosario on him for Steve Asmussen. Steve Asmussen is the winningest trainer of all time in North America, but he has never won the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if Tiztastic is good enough to beat Journalism, but he's going to be around at the end because Joel Rosario is known as the best finishing rider in the sport, meaning when you get into the home stretch and you got to will that horse over the line, there's nobody better than Joel Rosario. He has so much upper body strength for a rider. So Tiztastic's going to have something to say about it. I just don't know if he's going to quite get there.
All right, good stuff. And give Barry a follow and listen to the podcast, and we will look forward to talking with you ahead of the Preakness coming up at Pimlico. So have a good Derby day, Barry, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, my friends. You know where to find me.
All right, thank you. Barry Abrams joining us here to talk about the Derby. So here comes Journalism. Have not heard that in a while.
Yeah, I like it.
It's refreshing, Mark. It is very refreshing. So he's got Journalism, Luxor Cafe, and Burnham Square.
I'm keeping an eye on that alternate.
I am too. I just don't know if he's going to get in there.
Yeah.
I just don't know if Baeza is going to get in there. Yeah, I got a Tiztastic. That's got me a little bit piqued. My interest piqued a little bit, but I think it is going to be a fast derby. I'm not going to say it's going to be the record of all time, but with what could be a fast track and many horses in here that like to jump out, I think this is going to be one of the faster derbies we've had in a while.
It's always going to be, you know, there's sports and entertainment angles too. Jason Wirth, the former Phillies outfielder, he's part owner in a horse, and I forget the other angles, but
Rick Pitino will probably be there.
Usually is.
the St. John's basketball team. the cash man for St. John's is in the Kentucky Derby. So if you're a fan of the Red Storm, you know who to back on Saturday. Always a good day. We hope for a safe race. That's the first and foremost thought out there. But hopefully the 151st edition of the Kentucky Derby will be very, very noteworthy. All right, coming up on 3:31, before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here, I want to remind you that the 13th annual Shoot from the Heart Clay Shooting for the American Heart Association is going to come up at the end of this month, Friday, May the 30th, and that will be from 8 to 5 down at the Hidden Hideaway Hunting in Riverside. So find out more information, and you can do so by going to their website, HighlandHunting.com. All right, Mark, let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Had a great time at Emil's last night, didn't we?
We did indeed.
I had the Hawkeye as usual. No one was surprised.
Little chicken sandwich for me and went well. On the scoreboard today, Northern Iowa men's basketball has announced the signing of 6'10" Marino Dubrovcic. The Croatian native played in 18 games last season at Baylor. Michigan State parted ways with athletic director Alan Haller today. The school named basketball coach Tom Izzo as co-interim AD along with Jennifer Smith. St. John's, speaking of St. John's will replace UCLA in next December's CBS Sports Classic basketball event. The opponent will be Kentucky, which means St. John's coach Rick Pitino will square off against the team he formerly coached.
On the 30th anniversary.
Yes, Pitino guided Kentucky to the 1996 national title. Finally, the Las Vegas Aces announced that former Iowa star Megan Gustafson will be out of action indefinitely after she suffered a lower leg injury.
That's too bad. Tough. Hopefully she can get back very, very soon. We're going to talk a little WNBA, of course, coming here to the Corridor this weekend on Sunday with the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark. We'll talk about that and talk about the latest addition to Iowa men's basketball and exactly where the roster is as we speak. And we will do that coming up before 4 o'clock here today. No Spencer on sports. He is off today, and tomorrow he will be back on Monday. NBA basketball, as we mentioned, coming up tonight at 8:30. So listen in on that, and good to have you on board today, Nebraska Jason. Always enjoy when you listen in to the program. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and before we get you to our break, it is time to talk about your chance to get into the Spring Into Cash giveaway with 1600 ESPN. We've teamed up with a local national contest to give our listeners a chance to win a $5,000 first prize. Today's winning keyword is catch. Catch. Go to KGYMradio.com right now and enter that word into the entry form for your chance to win. Again, today's word is catch. And listen in around 5:30 and we'll get your next opportunity to sign up for the Spring Into Cash giveaway. Back with more after this.
After a bit of a soggier start to our day today, we'll be seeing some more dry time heading into our afternoon with some pockets of sunshine that allow temperatures to get their way into the middle 60s. However, as we get into the later portion of the afternoon and early evening, we will be seeing our next chances for some showers and thunderstorms developing before gradually clearing out overnight. Then to finish out the work week for Friday, we'll start off with a little more sunshine out there before more showers and thunderstorms start to develop as we do head into the afternoon, but things should be wrapping up overnight leading up to a fairly dry and sunny weekend out ahead of us. From the Weather First Forecast Center, I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check-in for latest Iowa's News Now Weather First Forecast.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier girls soccer team left it all on the field for a 0-0 finish with Iowa City West Monday at Saints Field. The Xavier boys soccer team fell 5-1 at Iowa City West on Tuesday. They'll be back in action tomorrow night, welcoming Waverly Shell Rock. The Xavier girls tennis team remains undefeated this season with a 9-0 win over Iowa City City High on the road Tuesday. And the boys tennis team got the 6-3 win over Iowa City City High at home on Tuesday. The Xavier girls golf team plays second in the Linmar Invitational at Hunters Ridge Golf Course on Tuesday. And the boys and girls track and field teams hosted the Xavier Co-Ed Invitational on Tuesday. The girls finished fourth, the boys sixth.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel is your place to eat, play, stay 24 hours a day. With 1,300 slot machines, 25 table games, bingo, entertainment, three dining venues, Starbucks, and a luxury hotel, it's your perfect place for an exciting night out or a relaxing staycation. It's fight night at Meskwaki. Throne MMA makes its debut at Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel on Saturday, June 21st at 7 p.m. Don't miss your chance to witness this intense night of fights and jaw-dropping knockouts. Tickets are on sale now and start at $45. Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel. Your moment, your place.
Must be 21 to attend. Please gamble responsibly. Void where prohibited.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
Transform your yard work game with EGO, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Experts in nearly 200,000 homeowners rave about EGO's performance. Gas power without the noise, fuss, or fumes. Their patented 56-volt arc lithium battery delivers top-notch torque and fits all 90-plus EGO tools. Power through yard work and tailgates with the same battery. Plus, enjoy EGO innovations like the first fold-flat lawnmower and the first cordless leaf blower that exceeds the power of gas. Discover more at EgoPowerPlus.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
We're back. 3:37 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
All right, we're back. Thanks to Barry Abrams for joining us. I'm just reading up here on a little bit of Iowa news and caught me off guard a little bit right there, Mark. I apologize to everybody. It's okay.
All good.
Everything's fine. I wasn't trying to go to the open market and buy tickets for Sunday. Trust me on that one. It's out of my price range. I'm going to be golfing anyway. So cannot go to that. But coming up on Sunday, it is the big exhibition or preseason game, if you will, between the Indiana Fever and the Brazilian women's national team at Carver. If you have tickets, great, because if you don't, you better be prepared to hand over and fork over a lot of moolah, because those prices are escalating as we speak. And right now, on the secondary market, I think the last time I looked, the average price was around $450.
For one or two?
That's one ticket. Well, or is that two? Is that two?
I'm not sure. I went on one of the secondary markets before the show.
Okay.
And the cheapest I could find was $177 each.
So it must be two.
So $354 for a pair.
Okay.
$177 is more than double what the original price was if you went out and bought tickets. The original prices range from $76 to $256. Of course, this game is sold out, which tells you everything you need to know about the interest in Caitlin Clark, the interest in women's basketball in Iowa, the interest in the Indiana Fever. There's a reason ESPN is televising the game. I'm not going to tell anybody how to spend their money, but I'm not spending $400 some odd for a ticket to an exhibition game. I don't care who's playing in it. You know, I can go to any regular season game in the four major sports and not pay that much. I can go play Torrey Pines for much less than that.
You play Pebble for less than that.
No, Pebble is $600 and some odd, but Torrey Pines is a couple hundred dollars. And you can go play PGA courses that are on tour for less than that amount of money. I'm not begrudging anybody for paying that price. To each his own. I'm the last person to tell anybody how to spend their money. But
I'm not doing
the question is why. It's an exhibition. I get it. Caitlin Clark's coming back. It's not like you haven't seen her play before. I've been to a couple exhibition games. Granted, they were the NBA.
There
was one downtown in the old, whatever it was called, at the Five Seasons Center. No.
That did not end well.
There's a Carver Hawkeye when the Bulls played down there.
Yeah, there was one down in Iowa City.
I don't think Michael Jordan ever saw the floor or was in the area. But nevertheless, it was popular. But nothing more popular right now than, in this area anyway, Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. And the prices show that.
Highest one I saw was $2,350. Now, I assume that's for a pair. Maybe it is not. I don't know. It's got to be courtside.
Would you get to sit either side of Caitlin Clark on the bench or what?
She better be very close to where your seat is located. I'm also interested, and I'm sure there are diagrams out there showing this, but is there going to be a different seating arrangement since it is a professional game instead of the regular one that they have at Carver Hawkeye Arena for women's basketball? Now, granted, you look at the WNBA and the NBA, the benches for the teams are located more toward the baseline, and you have more of the big-time seats, you know, where the start of those benches would normally be. So maybe it's going to be that way. I don't know. To allow more people to get in there. I'm also interested to see how many minutes she's going to play. Like you said, I was at that infamous NBA exhibition game downtown where I think that was the final straw of we need to get a new floor because one of the yeah. rookies, unfortunately, tore his ACL that night on a slip on that court. And the NBA hasn't been back.
No. You know, I suppose if you want to go see the Fever, you can go check on tickets for Saturday. The Fever play an exhibition Saturday.
Yeah, and it's also back-to-back.
In Indianapolis.
Yep.
And you could see the Fever play the Washington Mystics, where Lucy Olson is a member of the team. Granted, you got to drive there, maybe get a hotel room, whatever, but I guarantee you ticket prices for that game are much less than what you're going to pay in Iowa City. And
are you disappointed if she does not play, you know, 40 minutes or so? I mean, think about this. It's the first two games of the year. Training camp is only a week old. Granted, she's in great shape. She stays in basketball shape year-round. They all stay
they
in
all
basketball
yeah.
shape year-round. But to ask her to go, you know, even 30 minutes, back-to-back in the first two exhibition games, I think that might be a little bit much. And are you going to be disappointed? If you are going, are you going to be disappointed if Caitlin Clark sits out 15 minutes to 20 minutes of that game? I don't think she will. Maybe 10 minutes I could see her sitting out, getting her out a few times here and there sporadically. Just to, I mean, because you don't want to, you know, that's a lot of exertion early.
I don't know that they will, though. Because there's a reason this game's in Iowa City.
Right. I get it. So are you going to be mad if she doesn't?
I probably would be if I had tickets. But I can also tell you that looking at a couple clips of the Indiana Fever media day, players were asked about going to Iowa City and playing there. And Kelsey Mitchell was beaming. She said, I've never been there, but I heard a whole lot about it. And a couple other players said similar things. These are players that played all over the country and may not have been in Iowa City. That says a lot about Iowa, the fans in Iowa City for women's basketball.
Yeah, and they're going to show out, and it's going to be an electric atmosphere if you are there. 319-366-1600. I want to hear from you. CC, Marcus and Marion says, CC better only play 20 to 25 minutes. Well, that's half the game. If you paid, let's just play the, if you paid $500 on the secondary market and Caitlin's out there 20 minutes, are you feeling a little bit slighted? That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying it's a right thing or a wrong thing. I'm just saying, are you going to feel a little slighted?
We'll set the bar at 20 minutes, half the game, 40-minute game. If she only plays, you expect her to play 20 minutes or more? I would.
I think she'll play 25 to 30. I think, and then, okay, she plays 25 to 30 in Iowa City, then the day before, does she get her time curtailed in the first exhibition game against the Mystics, as you mentioned, in, you know, at Indianapolis? And are those people going to be upset?
For the Fever, that's a good problem to have.
And Jason says she's going to sit out a lot, if not all the game on Saturday. Sunday, she'll play almost the entire game. I don't know if she's going to play the entire game or close to it. I think 25 to 30 minutes. I'm going to go 28. Over or under 28, Mark?
Oh, boy. That's a good number.
I don't work in Vegas, by the way.
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to go over slightly.
I'm going to say over.
29 or 30. That's what I'm going to go for. Marcus and Marion says, have her available for autographs. I think she's going to have writer's cramp from autographs on Sunday. I don't think there's going to be, I think there'll be very few that will be unhappy they didn't get an autograph.
The one thing about Caitlin Clark this year versus her rookie season is that she is not going from the end of the Iowa, lengthy Iowa women's basketball season, right into training camp, right into the regular season, boom. And I think the Fever schedule was difficult at the start last year, and Clark, and maybe a couple others as well, she wasn't the only one, had a shortened, you know, she's just going, she played 80 plus games last year.
Correct.
And this year she decided not to participate in anything, and evidently she's gotten stronger.
Played a lot of golf,
But other than that, it's going to be a different year for her, and I think it's going to benefit her.
Yeah, she's going to be rested, and I think she's going to come out a ball of fire this year. And 85-32 does remind us Kelsey Mitchell played at Carver in 2015 for Ohio State. Now,
I'm just going by what she said in the interview.
Now, I think that was a good atmosphere in 2015, not 2023, 2024 Carver atmosphere. I think that's what Kelsey Mitchell's talking about. And injury does scare me too, says Marcus. yeah, that would be the worst scenario in the world. But hey, you can get hurt in practice. You can get hurt. We've had so many different stories about odd injuries over the years. You got to do your thing.
You put a red jersey on her, or they are red, aren't they? Yeah.
could be wearing red. I don't know what they're going to wear. If they're going to wear their white jerseys, red jerseys, blue jerseys, the Iowa City alternate jersey, I don't know what they're going to be.
I've got a there's a construction vest in the hallway out there, I think. But
could wear that. Keep them away from her. Cyclone Tim says, she's not a machine, or is she?
Yeah.
At times, she kind of looks like a machine. Jason is saying 33 minutes.
33, okay.
Okay, 33 minutes. I'm going to stick with 29 or 30, right in there.
Well, you set the bar at 28. I'm going over. I don't know how much over. I think have to revisit it on Monday.
A lot depends on how the game goes, too. I mean, if the Fever are up 25 or 30, I mean, you're not playing Caitlin Clark in the fourth quarter, right?
I don't know. It's I don't think it matters whether they win or lose these exhibition games.
No,
I mean, it'd be nice to win, but
it'd be great to win, and it does not matter.
I haven't scouted the Brazilian team. I don't know what they have.
I have no idea. I feel for the television announcers.
You've been there. You've been there.
I've been there, and it's tough. It is tough. There's been some great examples of public address announcers. Plus,
it's not a game for Harry Carey to call, right?
No, play-by-play broadcasters over to the big guy. Things like Johnny Most, the late great Celtic announcer. I always think back. Yeah, big guy over the little guy, and you got to remember Johnny Most had that voice for the Boston Celtics. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Barry Abrams joined us earlier on today. There is Iowa men's basketball news as well. The 11th member of the roster has been set. Tate Sage, who was a commitment to Drake, is now going to follow Ben McCollum and the staff, most of the staff. And he is going to be now the latest Iowa Hawkeye. Tate Sage is from Weatherford, Oklahoma. That's where he played his high school basketball. 6'7". He is a wing player. And his team won the 4A state championship. He was a first-team All-Stater in the state of Oklahoma, Mark.
Yeah, McCollum had told a reporter or two that he'd like to, he's on the lookout for a true five, a true center. But if one doesn't come along, he'll put out the best five players and go with that. You know, I'm not sure unless you have a big-time quality center that's hugely important. But they've got a couple of pretty big guys that can play the five, I think. But his second high school recruit, I believe.
Correct. Along with Trevin Jurak from West Des Moines Valley, who was the Iowa Mr. Basketball. A lot of 6'4", 6'5", guys in that area. The young man from DME Academy down in Florida, who was originally from West Des Moines, Alvaro, and I'm going to butcher the last name, as we talk about announcers not being able to get names right. 6'9", 215-pounder with a couple of seasons remaining. Not really a back-to-the-basket type of guy. As I mentioned, Trevin Jurak is. I mean, he can step out and shoot the three. He has shown that range in high school. But he's also 75% of his minutes are with his back to the basket. But he's a freshman. And he's not small of stature. He's got some beef to him, but it's going to take a while to learn how to play in the big, rugged Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm just going to be really interested to see, as good as Drake was last season, how all these Drake players and this Drake coach translates to the Big Ten.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Has there been any news on the landing spot for Matt Gaetens as of yet?
I have not seen.
I've not heard anything about a landing spot for Matt Gaetens, which is we hopefully will see him somewhere in college basketball. Somebody's going to have him. on his staff, yeah. on their staff. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We have a topic for you coming up tomorrow, our very first one of the summer, our Friday topic series getting underway, and we will talk about that when we return.
Whether you're building a single roof or a successful roofing business, roofing contractors like you need the right tools for the job, and software is no exception. ServiceTitan is on a mission to be the most powerful software platform for the trades, with purpose-built technology proven to maximize revenue, streamline operations, and deliver five-star customer experiences. We are taking roofing companies like yours to the next level and beyond. ServiceTitan, we are built for this. See what we can do for roofers at servicetitan.com.
Mother's Day is coming up fast and you don't want to drop the ball. Show the incredible moms in your life how much you love and appreciate them with a thoughtful gift from Pro Flowers. Ordering takes just minutes, and Pro Flowers' large selection of modern arrangements at affordable prices are sure to make you look like a gift-giving pro. Visit proflowers.com/sports or use the code SPORTS at checkout for $15 off your Mother's Day order. All Pro Flowers orders are backed by our 7-day freshness guarantee, so you can gift easy with Pro Flowers.
Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on Green Bay's team. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The playoffs are in full swing, and you can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest game-changing moments to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JOEQ, that's J-O-E-Q, to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Gym Class back with you to wrap things up here on May Day, on Thursday, May the 1st. Back with you coming up tomorrow. And again, a reminder, Spencer on Sports off today and tomorrow, back on Monday. And looking forward to having him back with us. Going to start our topics series tomorrow, Mark. And you've got a good one to kick things off. And this one has been in your... in the recesses of your mind for a while.
Yeah, thankfully I remembered it. But we're going to kick it off with this topic. Which two people in sports history you'd like to see do a podcast together? Which two people in sports history you'd like to see do a podcast together?
Doesn't necessarily have to be like two tennis players or two... swimmers or two race car drivers. It can be this person and that person. Now, do they have to be still around and breathing?
Two people in sports history.
Okay. All right. Oh, that just opens everything up.
So, I think we will... the text line will be active tomorrow.
Already. Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone.
Hold that thought till tomorrow.
Thank you, 5284, for that. A few scores from the majors. As the Cubs win, the White Sox beat the Brewers today, 8-0, for win number 8 on May the 1st. Absolutely thrashing last year's pace. Athletics, 2 games over .500, perhaps. They lead Texas 3-0. That is in the top of the ninth. Twins and Cleveland are delayed right now, and that game 2-2. All right, back with you coming up tomorrow.
Harry Douglas here. La Quinta by Wyndham is deeply grateful for all our military members, veterans, and their families. We understand the dedication, sacrifice, and hard work that comes with serving our